Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Okay, let's turn our attention now to the United States, where President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion relief plan to help Americans during the pandemic has finally been approved in the House of Representatives.
So the vote was along partisan lines, although interestingly, two Democrats joined Republicans in opposing it as they thought it was too expensive.
So now the question is, the bill must go to the evenly divided Senate. How long is it going to take before it eventually passes?
In other news coming out of the U.S., Joe Biden has only been president for a little over a month, but he's already carried out an airstrike targeting Iran-backed militia in Syria.
Yeah, that was in response to attacks against the U.S. and coalition personnel in Iraq. Questions being raised over whether the U.S. and Iran can find common ground, especially in talks about that nuclear deal.
Plus, at the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC, the Republican Party has been positioning itself as a champion of the working class.
So this is at the same time as Democratic President Joe Biden's efforts to raise the minimum wage faces significant congressional roadblocks, including opposition from many senior Republican figures.
Yeah, the question being, will this juxtaposition of messaging be swept under the carpet? And finally, the former President Donald Trump is currently on stage at CPAC in his first address since leaving the White House.
So he has said he won't be starting a new political party, but he has criticized his successor Joe Biden by saying U.S. policy had gone from America first to America last. Lots to get through with Steve Oaken, senior advisor at McLarty Associates. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Just ready to get through all of this. There's so much, Elliot.
I'm a bit drowning myself, but thank goodness we have your help.
There is lots going on, isn't there? And I'm quite excited to talk about the CPAC conference just ahead because I was listening to it earlier, the speech, and I just can't believe it. Anyway, Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion relief package, let's start with that. It's been approved by the House of Representatives, now set to go to the Senate. So what's next? How long will the Senate process take? Is it likely to pass?
100%, Manisha, it is going to pass. It's probably going to take about a week or so because you have unemployment benefits ending on in the middle of the month. So this has to pass before then. Otherwise, Americans who've been unemployed because of COVID will lose their benefits. So it's going to pass. It's going to pass along party lines with all the Democrats voting for it. And the only question is, will it include a minimum wage provision? That's all. That's the only question.
All right, Steve, there's also this first military action undertaken by the Biden administration, the U.S. carrying out the airstrike targeting Iran-backed militia in Syria. What does this mean for that Iran nuclear deal, though?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the Biden administration shows that it is not going to allow attacks on U.S. troops and U.S. facilities through proxies in the Middle East. It really wasn't any different than probably the reaction of any Republican or Democratic administration. So it shouldn't change the dynamics when it comes to the Iran nuclear deal, but it's certainly going to say the U.S. isn't going to sit around and watch Iran go, you know, through Syria and through proxies attacking U.S. facilities.
Okay, let's hotfoot it from the Middle East to New York. A former aide to Governor Andrew Cuomo has accused him of kissing her without consent and making inappropriate remarks while she worked in his office. Now, a second woman has also come forward to accuse him of sexual harassment in a move that has prompted an independent investigation into the allegations. Okay, what's this all about?
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is how powerful and dynastic the Cuomo family is in New York. You know, the father, Mario Cuomo, was governor, I think, for four terms. Andrew Cuomo, the son, is now in his third term, is governor. So this is a very popular and very powerful family in New York Democratic politics. But he is facing really three scandals simultaneously. He's been hit for his deception over nursing home deaths due to COVID in New York State. Then he was hit for bullying fellow Democrats who are questioning him on it. Now there's two very credible complaints of sexual harassment from former staffers of the governor. And Democrats, you know, cannot be seen as being hypocritical if they're going to you know, say Donald Trump needs to be held to a certain standard, or Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh needs to be held to a certain standard. They have to hold their own people to a certain standard. So he's in a lot of trouble right now as he heads into the, you know, towards the end of his third term.
Yeah, it's funny how these things happen, especially when you're at the height of popularity. But Steve, let's move on to the Conservative Political Action Conference and the Republican Party claiming to be the party of the working class. Yet at the same time, wait a minute, they're opposing an increase to minimum wage. So let's talk about the messaging here, Steve.
Well, I mean, I think that's exactly right. They look, Governor DeSantis, who is probably the second most popular figure, way behind Donald Trump, but second most. He said what the party needs to stand for, it's anti-adventurism abroad, anti-big technology, anti-immigrant, anti-China, and anti-lockdowns. And so that's the positioning they're taking. They think that appeals to the working class, especially, you know, that kind of that anti-immigration, take on China, take down big government. But at the same time, they oppose, you know, of what really would help the working class, which is a raise in the minimum wage. So it's you've got mixed signals coming out of where the party wants to go on CPAC.
Speaking of CPAC, Donald Trump has just finished giving his first speech since leaving office as U.S. president. How much does his appearance in Florida represent continued influence over Republicans, if at all?
Well, that's the really big question coming out of this, because, you know, this is, you know, unprecedented. No, we use the word unprecedented a lot when we talk about Donald Trump. It's unprecedented for a former president, you know, so quickly after his term ends to go and attack his successor is Donald Trump did. You saw Vice President Mike Pence refused to go because he didn't feel it was the right time for the former vice president to be out there. But Donald Trump doesn't believe that. You know, it was some of Donald Trump's, you know, greatest hits that he gave, you know, our morning tonight at for CPAC. You know, the election was rigged. You know, the Republicans who vote against me have to get taken out, like Liz Cheney. You know, if Joe Biden's, you know, shutting schools, all the typical stuff that you normally get from him. Yet when they did a poll, Donald Trump only got 55% from the CPAC attendees as to who should be the Republican nominee. So what Trump says is very popular, but whether Trump will remain popular and whether Trump will be the presumptive nominee if he wants to be is still up in the air, I think, after this weekend.
So given that I was listening into it a little bit earlier, and I felt like it just smacked of another campaign rally. Given that it's sounding like that, what is the implication for the next 4 years?
Well, I mean, I think that is what you're going to have to really see. The midterms are going to dictate what's going to happen in 2024. So, you know, in 2 years, you've got the entire House of Representatives up and you've got a third of the Senate. If the Republicans do run on a Trump-themed campaign, which is a lot of grievances. It's about cancel culture. You know, it's against that litany of things that DeSantis outlined. And they don't get back the House or the Senate. You're going to be hard-pressed for Trump to come in and say, well, I should get it in 2024. But if he is out there, if he's fighting for candidates and he helps the Republicans get the House and Senate, he'll be much better positioned. So it's really what's Trump's influence going to be in 2022. That's what we want to watch first. And that's he's already saying anyone who opposed him and voted, any Republican who voted to impeach him, he's going to try and get them to lose in the primary. And there's a congressman in Ohio, Gonzalez, he's mentioning by name on this, that he's going to support a primary challenge. So let's see if the Republican Party can survive this civil war going into the midterms, as to then we'll know the roadmap for 2024.
2022. I just got over 2020. Steve Okun, Senior Advisor at McLarty Associates, on the line with us. Steve, always appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe.
You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.